and sing together.
Rugged cross.
to that home far away, where His glory forever shines. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. Cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Seated above, thrown in the Father's love, destined to die, born out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if He did. All authority, every victory, yours. All authority, every victory, yours.
thank you. continue to pray for the situation in Haiti. And on the back of your bulletins, there's a letter from the general superintendents of the church talking about our need for recovery in Haiti. And then I'm sure that we have Nazarenes in Afghanistan, although we're not able to talk about it openly or to give any details, but they're requesting prayer also for what's going on in that nation at this time. And so those are at least two of the focuses. We want to continue to lift up Miriam. We're glad for her recovery. Really, at this stage, well, I think immunity is maybe the biggest prayer we can pray for her, to restore her immunity and be able to be out and about. And if you wanted to make Miriam suffer, tell her that she has to stay home. That just drives her up the wall, I'm sure. And so we'll pray, we'll continue to pray, and I had a moment of prayer with her this morning as well. For our mission focus this morning, I want to talk for a moment or two about Dr. Floyd Cunningham. Floyd Cunningham, when he was getting his PhD at Johns Hopkins, played the keyboard. I looked this direction because we had the piano over here back then, and it was a piano, an upright, not a keyboard, like we have on this side today. But Dr. Floyd Cunningham is currently the academic dean at Asia Pacific Nazarene Theological Seminary in Manila. And what's exciting about the seminary in Manila is, first of all, how many different countries they draw students from, and then also their ministry in various languages. A lot of the program is in English, but then they're able to do online more than that, and we're thankful for that. Floyd has had many responsibilities there, including for a while being president of the seminary. And I think he's much more comfortable probably now being the academic dean and in that role. But Floyd played, as I said, the keyboard when he was here, and then has gone on to really spend his whole ministry as in the academic field. And so he's one of us, and we can pray for his ministry today. I know that as you pray for Asia Pacific Nazarene Theological Seminary, you've got to pray for Fletcher Tink, who doesn't live on the campus, lives about a couple of hours away, but has been a long-standing part of the family. And Fletcher belongs to all Nazarenes. 90% of them probably know Fletcher, and probably 50% of them he has personal stories he can tell on. And so he's another one of ours. Let's sing together, Be Thou My Vision, as we enter into prayer in a couple of moments.
Heart of my own heart was
my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of
Father, we give you praise today for all that you are. These wonderful choruses and hymns that we have worshiped you with bring to our minds and our hearts the majesty and wonder of our God. God beyond all galaxies. The God who humbled himself unto the cross. The God who by the Holy Spirit is with us and in us and guides us. So we give you praise. For from the beginning of all time, you were there, and at the end, you will be there. And in between, you guide and lead our lives, that marvelous sense of your will and purpose for us. We confess that many times we've wanted to choose our way, and we thought we had a better idea, to discover that your ways are best. Your plans are greater than even what we can imagine or hope to dream. And so we give you praise, we rejoice in your greatness and your goodness, and your abounding presence with us. Our desire, O God, is to draw near and to walk with you faithfully this week. We celebrate the labors of our hands as we think about the accomplishments of the past year. It's been a difficult year in terms of the COVID and in terms of the challenges and restrictions that have been on us. And we still have a ways to go, but we thank you today, Father, that you've been guiding and leading, and we've been doing the work you've called us to do. We long to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the rest." But until the day we rest, O God, may we be faithful at the labors you have called us to be engaged in. May we have a vision and a passion for what you have called us to do. May we do it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, I pray today for leaders in business and economics and education and government and politics and military. I pray, O God, for them as they lead courage and boldness, and as Christians, that they would step forward to be leaders and step forward to be responsible and guide our nation, O God, in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray that prayer, confessing that we fall so far short. But once again, you call us, you challenge us, you draw us by your Spirit to go beyond. For your word tells us that what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor what the mind of man can imagine is what God has prepared for those who love him. And so, Lord, help us to live with that expectancy. Help us to lead with that expectancy. Help us to serve with that expectancy that beyond what we can imagine is what you want to do. We engage our hearts and we engage our lives with you for your purpose and for your victory and your goal for our lives. Bless mothers who stay home and mothers who work hard, and we think about the labors of a home and of a household, and just thank you for all of that that's involved. We don't want to overlook those whose engagement in hard work doesn't bear a paycheck but has other rewards. We're thankful for them as well. Now guide us in your word as we hear and as we rededicate ourselves to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My wife has an announcement to make, a special announcement. I'm going to call her up to give us some guidance on women's retreat.
Thank you, Pastor. And good morning to those in the sanctuary as well as those online. So I want to sendeth word to those ladies. And then you men that support a woman, to be aware that we are part of and been invited to join a conference, one-day retreat on October 2nd at the Crossroads Church of the Nazarene. And I think, yeah, that tells you everything you need to know. If you have a bulletin, there is a little poster in the bulletin, so you have all the information. Tara Beth Leach is the speaker. She's a Nazarene pastor, international speaker, writer. I think Philip has known about her. I have not had the privilege of meeting her, but this sounds really good. But it is something that we want to do because we as a church encourage women to grow and to be encouraged and inspired. And this is a day for us to take care of ourselves spiritually as well as be with other women who, I don't know about you, but when we women get together, it's dynamic. Especially positive women that have a positive attitude toward life and their circumstances and are looking to God for direction.
Is it as good as fishing?
Yes.
I don't think so. Okay.
No, because there's no seasickness involved.
No seasickness involved.
We don't have to get up at three either.
Yes, well, that is a huge benefit. Right there, we're refreshed when we get there. So, but the point is that it's $65 for the day, and that includes a continental breakfast and a catered lunch. Crossroads always does a nice job. We've been there several times for a team day. They have a nice job, nice platform. So if you are interested in going, I have a sign-up sheet in the back. We just need to know how many we can plan to transport and be part of it. So I hope you plan to carve out that day, and I think you will not regret being part of conference. Thank you.
Thank you. So be sure to either talk to Marsha or Don about that and get enrolled. I want to watch this video as prepared to talk about Labor Day and preach. And it's funny, but it also has a strong positive message. So let's do that together.
It's almost Labor Day!
Happy Labor Day!
Yes, Labor Day! Woo! Labor Day. When we celebrate the back-breaking, crushing blow to our bodies and spirits that takes place when we toil underneath the grueling sun of...
No, this is a celebration video. Labor Day is a holiday, day off. You're thinking of the wrong kind of labor.
Then Labor Day must be the day that we celebrate the American Labor Party, which was dismantled in the 1950s due to its cozy relationship with communists.
No, no! Labor Day is about hot dogs and beaches and Matlock marathons. It's vacation.
Wrong kind of labor. Okay, now I get it. Happy Labor Day. When we celebrate the 19 hours your mother pushed and urged that pumpkin you call a head trying to make its way.
Are you insane? That's not a vacation. That's difficult. Why would we celebrate hard things?
Well, who said there isn't a place in our faith for difficult things? I mean, some good things only come from hard things. As a matter of fact, the greatest joys are a result of the greatest difficulties. That's why Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Our work matters to God, even the hardest parts. We just can't forget who we're doing it all. All I know is that this video is supposed to be about a day off, so get to the point. I'm late for the beach, gotta heat the charcoal, make the burger patties, bake my Jerry Lewis faced MDA cookies, put on more sunblock.
You said I'm stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. I'm vacationing. That's not a day off. That's a nightmare.
I'm grilling for 30 people.
You know, God wants us to work hard, but he also wants us to rest well.
Rest? What's that?
Well, according to Mark 6, after hard work, Jesus urged the apostles to go to a quiet place, rest a while.
Take a break? From ministry?
Imagine that. God cares about your well-being. He cares about your day off. It's a time to show him how grateful we are for the fruits of our labor.
Just like Labor Day.
I'm grateful that we serve a God who insists upon rest and reflection. Otherwise, we would never know the great value that comes from the tough times. It's a perfect reason to take a day off.
A day off.
I think I'll just nap right here. This Labor Day, be grateful for the work God has put into your hands. And don't be afraid to take a little holiday.
Holiday! Celebrate!
You're drooling on my toenails.
Did we get that?
I think we got it, right? Everybody got it? Good. All right. Enjoy the day off. You deserve it. You've been working. You get to take a arrest. Scripture, and I'm going to start this morning where I want to end with this reference in Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. No half-hearted efforts is what he is saying. As working for the Lord. So the goal, the purpose of our work is for the Lord. Whatever it is you do, wherever it is you work, whether it's paid, unpaid, volunteer, or forced. Working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. The Lord is your reward, a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is where I want to finish my message this morning. We're going to get there as we go through these slides. But what I want to say is that we work for the Lord. And if you keep that in mind, if you keep that ultimate goal, that ultimate reality in your heart, then you'll be able to steer through many of the areas where you would be tempted to deviate, or where you would be tempted to do less than your best, or where you might even be tempted to cheat or to steal or to rob your employer or rob yourself of God's blessing. And so when you have that as the fixed goal, calling of your life, then you can work in any kind of conditions, under any kinds of bosses, with any kinds of difficulties that come, knowing that you work not for them, but for the Lord. And that puts you in a better frame of mind, a better perspective, a wholesome perspective, meaning the whole part together rather than broken up. Because we work with all our heart as we are working for the Lord. Whatever you do, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Doesn't matter what the title is, the job title is, the job assignment is, you do it for the Lord. I was thinking about the first job I ever had that I was paid for. They were saying that the children, the teenagers in the church needed work in order to earn some money so they could pay for camp, district church camp. And so I signed up, and then a man by the name of Delmer Frederick signed up. I had no idea who he was, but he wanted me to come to work for him on a Saturday in the hot Oklahoma sun, so I went. He had bought a house. He was flipping houses before any of us had heard the term or knew what that was. He was buying houses that were depressed or distressed and improving them and then reselling them or renting them. And he had a house just a few 100 feet from his home that he bought, and the front lawn looked like the ocean instead of being smooth. And so he said, I want you to cut the sod off the front of this lawn, and then he said, we will level underneath it and put the sod back on it. And so I set to work with a shovel, cutting sod, taking it off so that we could eventually level the front lawn. At noon, he came to me and he said, well, how about you eat lunch with my wife and I in our house? And I said, oh, thank you. That'd be great. I look forward to that. So we went inside, had some cool iced tea, and I think he had a window unit air conditioner. That felt good after the heat and the sweat. And he said to me, I never expected you to work more than an hour. He said, I thought you'd give up. And since you didn't give up and you've done the work, he said, how would you like to go to work for me? Well, for me as a 14-year-old high school sophomore, that was a great opportunity. And so I worked for Delmer Frederick for 2 years, a strong, dynamic Christian man who loved the Lord, who was helping people actually that had very little to pay in rent or needing to buy and not being able to afford houses. And so he was helping them do that. I ended up having a key to a house that he bought that was close to where I lived, digging out the basement, literally digging out dirt in a wheelbarrow and pushing it up to the ground level and getting it out into the backyard so that there would be a basement there. And that was the challenge. And so I had calluses on my hands. I want you to know that, because sometimes now at church, some people, and usually it's really old people, will shake my hand and say, oh, you've never done any work. And I say, well, my work doesn't callus my hands anymore, but I know what hard work is. I've done it. My next job was hauling feed to cattle and horses, mostly horses, And then Oklahoma County has the most horses per capita, I heard at that time, of any county in the United States. I was kind of shocked by that. But when I got to know some of those barns and filled some of those barns with those 50-pound sacks of horse feed, I understood it. So I do have a background with labor. Labor is the word we use for work that's hard, right? You saw that somewhat in the brief video we watched. But work is more on the line of vocation. And in the tradition of the church, we talk about your vocation. And vocation comes from the Latin word calling. It's what God is calling you to. It's what you do because there's a sense of purpose. There's a sense of, this is for me. And in our jobs, in our labor, we're to have God's sense of calling. We're to find the calling. Sometimes you have a job that you say, well, this is temporary or this is transitional. I don't intend to stay with this always. But sense and seek what God's calling is where you are. Sometimes that calling is to raise the level of the job and make the quality of what is done better. Sometimes the calling is to simply be a faithful, honest Christian worker in a very non-Christian, non-honest environment. Sometimes the calling is to live out a life that will impact others so that they will more favorably look on Christ and Christians and the witness and the testimony you have. And to be honest with you, sometimes the job we have, we don't see the purpose, and we might not even feel the calling in that job in the sense of a specific area, but we know God has us there, and we serve Him, sometimes without reward in terms of psychological, spiritual enjoyment or fulfillment, but we stay with it because we know it's where God wants us at that time. And so here, Paul tells the people in Colossae that they are to be at their jobs working for the Lord. But I want to take a moment and go into the Old Testament and look together in Ecclesiastes. Many have said through the centuries that Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. And you remember that there's always one phrase when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And we translate that word vanity in there, but many times we forget that that means zero. That means nothing. Life is nothingness. It has no purpose. It has no meaning. You ever come home feeling that? You know, you say, well, I've been at the grind all day, and I don't think I've made a dent. I haven't gotten done what I thought I should get done, or I did it all and they just threw it away, or they made me start over, or they didn't seem to appreciate what I did, or you face some difficulties or challenges that are even greater than that. And that's a phrase that actually he uses over and over, that word. It's a difficult word to translate. Nothingness is how the NIV and the NIRV translate it. So I'm going to read for us. I'm actually going to start at verse 8, Ecclesiastes 5, 8. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised. Now we need to hear that today, don't we? If you see the poor oppressed, we've seen that, in a district, and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things, for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and everyone comes, as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This too is a grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. Well, what a great image this is of all of the ways in which we are called to live with difficult circumstances and in the midst of meaningless toil, but to find God's favor and to find enjoyment. One of the things he's telling us here in verse 8 is that injustice and inequality of treatment will happen. I've talked to enough people to hear stories often of someone being let go from the job or fired for seemingly no reason at all, or maybe a new manager who suddenly cuts the budget and your spot is gone. Maybe people who just simply have a personality conflict. And you say, that's not fair, that's not right, I didn't do wrong, they just don't like me, but I'm out. And that happens. Sometimes you might be in the best of all possible jobs and suddenly the carpet is pulled out from under you. I understand what that is. I understand what that's like. And so he says to us, as he analyzes life, he realizes that injustice and inequality of treatment will happen. And so don't be surprised. And in a sense, don't be upset by that reality or think you're the only one. Because he says in a verse that's very difficult to translate, verse 9, the increase in the field will bless all. Meaning, when there is united labor and when we work and when we prosper, in a sense the business prospers whether we do or not, it's good because the king benefits, the king prospers, meaning the nation is lifted up. And so your role, you'll say, well, I'm a very small cog in a very big wheel. My part's not all that important, but only God knows how important your part is. Don't undersell, don't underestimate, don't feel like you're overlooked. Instead, work for the Lord and his approval and his favor, and then whatever man does to you is easier to take because you understand you're working for the Lord. One of the stories that impacted me a lot as a younger person was the story of a man who came to his retirement in the railroad. You remember the legends, maybe you've heard of them, that after, I don't know if it was 20 or 30 years of work, they would give him a gold watch. Remember that kind of legend of history that we've heard? This particular man had worked in the railroad all of those years and came down to retirement. And at the retirement party, someone happened to ask him, what did you do? And he said, well, I had a sledgehammer. And whenever the train pulled into the station, it was my job to hit that sledgehammer against the wheels of the engine. Oh, really? Well, why did you do that? He said, I don't know. That was my job. You mean for 20 years, you hit the hammer against the wheels of the engine and didn't know why? He said, yeah, they paid me, so I showed up, and so I did my job. Kind of silly, isn't it, when you think about it? Well, it turns out the reason they gave him the hammer to hit the wheels was that if a wheel had a crack in it, it was an accident ready to happen. And you hit that wheel with a crack, it sounds different than the wheel that has hold, that has integrity. And his job was vital to the success of the train. His job was vital to the safety of the train. And he had no idea that that's what he was doing. So I want to say two things about that. The first one is understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Work at it. Wrestle with it. Talk to God about it. Don't take your frustrations out on your fellow laborers or your bosses, but seek God and say, Father, why am I here? Is this a stopgap in my life or is this the rest of my life? Is there a purpose here that I am missing? Is there a way here to bless and to encourage and to help others that I don't see? You'll be surprised at the way God will open your eyes. I've never considered the jobs I had as I was going through college and seminary as meaningless or as having no impact or no outcome. I saw them as opportunities to learn, and I saw them as opportunities to get to know people. Worked with a young man from one of the countries in Cameroon, in Africa. And I began to learn some phrases in French from him. And we just struck up a marvelous relationship together as he'd teach me some French phrases, and we'd talk about being in the United States and what this culture is all about. And I found a way to find meaning in the job that otherwise didn't have a greater meaning. And so you increase the field, you increase the value of life when you work at your job with diligence. Some of us have a love of money, and here Solomon asks that question, and he says about those who love money that they will be forever frustrated. There's a major study that was done of how much money does it take for you to feel that you have enough. And at every income level up the scale, the answer was always the same, just a little bit more. How much does it take for you to have enough? Well, just a little bit more than we're making, we'd have enough. The problem is when you get a little bit more, what happens? You spend it all, you want a little bit more. And so there is this sense of a cycle of greed or of feeding the appetite that will never run out. And Ecclesiastes here recognizes that. And so the challenge in Scripture is to love your job and love what you do because of the service that you provide, rather than because of the check you receive. Rather than to see it as a monetary only material gain, to see where you are as a place of employment for God. After all, that's the employment agency that counts. That's the one that's eternal. That's the one you want to be, that's the retirement program you want to be in. Amen?
Right.
Our dear brothers down the road here at the Waves of Holy Ghost Revival Church have on their sign, the retirement plan is out of this world. And that's a great one to remember. The love of service. And the Scripture says to us over and over that what we do is done for God because we're serving God. And so in what we are about, every aspect of it needs to be done as if unto the Lord. I've told you the joke many times. Well, not a joke, it's a true story, but it's funny. That my dad would always comb his hair before he went to bed. I had no idea why he did that. I mean, my bedroom was right next to the bathroom, and he would cross in front of me, go in there, and I knew what was going to do. He was going to comb his hair, and I'd hear that comb hit the drawer, and he'd close the drawer, and he'd come out and go to bed. And I'd just laugh at him, you know, as a kid. I'd say, Dad, why do you do that? You know, it's going to get messed up on the pillow. And he had no idea why he did it, to be honest with you. I don't think he had a clue why he did it. But he came up with an answer. His answer was, if God comes in the night, I want to be ready. That may be carrying it too far. At least that's further than I'm carrying this idea of service. But the point is, we are here for a purpose. And everything we do has a reason that can be used by God and can be blessed by God. I've often told you there's two ways to be satisfied in life, right? Have all you want. And then we read the stories all the time of people who have more than all they could ever want, more than they could ever spend. And their lives seem empty. We see suicides and we see tragedies. Not all of them, but many of them lead very frustrating lives. One of the great early day computer safety experts, I listened to the story of his life, and really I think he probably went insane, finally taking his life in prison. More money than any of us will ever have if we put all our salaries together. And yet couldn't find a way to live fulfilled or whole or satisfied. So you can have all you want, or you can want all you have. Guess what? I decided a long time ago I know which one I'm going to have. I know which way it's going to work for me. I'm going to want what God gives me. I'm going to want what I have. And in that way, you can have abundance right where you are. It's easy to say it's not fair. Life's not fair. The job's not fair. The boss isn't fair. The conditions aren't right. Others get benefits I don't get. Others get breaks I don't get. But if you focus only on what's not fair, you'll never have satisfaction. And you'll never find God's purpose where you are. Now, don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is that we take to God these upset claims, this frustration, this anger, and we say, God, what do I need to do in this setting? How do I need to look at this? How would you change me? What perspective should I have with all this that's happened to me? Why? I don't understand it. I don't like it. I'm upset with them for this. And if you have struggles with that honest kind of prayer, just go to the Psalms. Look at all the ways in which the psalmist, and it wasn't just David, all the psalmists call out to God and talk to God honestly about their frustrations. Because you know what? God can change your heart. God can change your perspective. God can give you, in the midst of that struggle, His peace and His trust and confidence that He is working on your behalf, even when you don't see it or even when you don't feel it. And so there's a phrase that many of you have heard many times, no doubt. Work as if it all depends on you. Pray as if it all depends on God. A very old, trite, perhaps, phrase, often overused, but the point is you put your effort in honestly with integrity and with courage and a whole heart, and then you trust God for the answers, for the meaning, for the purpose. Verse 18 says, be good, eat, drink, and find satisfaction in labor. Having wealth and being happy is a gift from God, so be happy in your toil. Find the way in the struggle to have God's contentment. I just as I said that about being happy in your toil, I thought about the job I had in college. One summer, a friend of mine, she was in class with me. Her dad hired me to go with him to work every day in a factory. It was over 100 degrees. The kilns were at like 400, 800 degrees, making magnets for motors. And I was the low man on the totem pole, the part-time college guy. So I got to work right in the midst of all the heat all the time. And I'd come home sweated out and my clothes black from all the powder. My mother would wash my clothes every night. She made me change in the garage rather than bring in those sweaty, dirty clothes. And I'd come home just shaking my head. I worked with guys who just loved to take it out on me. You know, I was the dumb college kid. They had all the experience. And I was just the goat, not in the greatest of all time, but in what goat used to mean. I was the goat. And so I just took it. But you know what? With the income from that summer, I went to Europe. Mm-hmm. I spent 2 weeks traveling around in Europe and seeing sights and enjoying. Not only that, I feel like I left a good testimony and felt like they understood my values and understood that I lived for Christ. So I told you this is where I wanted to end up, and so here we are. Whatever you do, maybe you're retired. Maybe you're between jobs. Maybe you're in a stopgap job till you get what it is your calling is. Maybe your job has nothing to do with the purpose of your life. Your life has a different objective, trajectory, but in that job you are able to sustain yourself economically. Whatever you do, work at it with all your... And notice he doesn't say your body or your mind. He says work at it with your heart. That's your attitude, your passion, your commitment. Do it out of a sense of commitment to God. Because ultimately, you are your own boss. By that I mean, you determine how well you work and what your reward is. You decide. Because you're working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Interesting thing in Revelation, it says that when we get to heaven, we will serve God. So both Genesis, where God commands that Adam and Eve manage and work the garden. And then with the fall of sin, far worse conditions for work. By the sweat of your brow you will work, and difficulty in raising the food, and difficulty challenge in the job. Clear to the book of Revelation, where heaven is envisioned, what does he say? We will in heaven serve God. We'll find meaning and fulfillment in work and service in his presence. He's woven it into the warp and woof of our lives. He's woven it into all that we are as persons. And we want to have something to do, and we want to know the meaning of what we do. And between where you are and where God wants you to be, the gap is closed by prayer and by submission and by listening to God and saying, Lord, show me. Show me where you're blessing. Show me how I can use this job to be a blessing. Show me my role and my place as you see it. You'll be amazed at what he reveals to you and unravels in your life as you serve him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the faithfulness of hard workers and the faithfulness of retired persons who've worked all their lives and are now able to rest and enjoy some time. Father, I thank you for homemakers and volunteers and service workers who aren't in it for a paycheck or for an earthly reward, but out of a desire to serve and out of a desire to give. Lord, I thank you for people who have settled for jobs that are perhaps below their calling and their ability, because that's where you want them to be, and they serve you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, I thank you this morning that all that we do, you recognize, and the scripture promises it's not lost to you, that you will reward and you will bring your peace and your grace. This morning, I wonder if you'd take a moment to pray for your job or your role, your calling in life. Would you just ask God to help you understand it better? But not only to understand it, but to be able to pray for your job and pray for your setting. And my prayer would be that God would open your eyes to opportunities for witness, opportunities for blessing, opportunities to pray for others, opportunities to encourage others. Maybe you're frustrated this morning, and with your job you just say, it's not where I need to be, where I should be, where I feel God wants me to be. So Lord, help me to do my job till the door opens that you want to open. Forgive us, Lord, for impatience. Forgive us for the times and ways in which we waste either our time or our abilities or our employer's time. Help us instead, O God, to be industrious and find ways to put to use what otherwise would be wasted. Remind us that we're stewards, and we'll give an account for how we've spent our days when we face Jesus. And so remind us to be obedient, diligent. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in our midst leaders, managers, owners of businesses, bosses, so that others could have Christian employment, so that others could work in conditions of honesty, integrity, and uprightness. Give us the courage to do the tough things, Lord. It's so easy in life to settle. It's so easy in life all the time to be dragged down to a lower level. Breathe in us in this Labor Day weekend a desire to reach higher, to go further, to be better, to do more than we've done before. To give of our best to the Master, to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for what you say to each heart, what you bring to our minds. May we be diligent to live it out this week. Thank you now for the privilege of giving. You've blessed and poured out in our lives material wealth and prosperity, and we can give from the abundance. We give you praise. because you use what we give to minister to others and touch needs around the world. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeshua's will wait on you for the tithes and offerings. God bless you if you give.
The splendor of healing. He wrapped himself in light, and darkness tries to hide it. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing for me, how great is our God! I will see you in the morning. and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
And I will seek you.
And I will sing you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways.
Church of the Nazarene, but this will be our benediction this afternoon, so this morning. I'm looking at the time. So if you can raise your hand, close your eyes, and get ready to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we approach you in your throne, and we just ask you to bless us as we live. Bless us as we serve one another, our communities, and our work, but most of all, help us to be mindful of your mission upon our lives. Bless every heart that is within this church circle, yes, that is looking up at Facebook, and declare that this is your day, and be bold and be Christians from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
You are dismissed.